Hey, it's time for another movie review. This time around, we're doing something a little bit different. Not exactly a movie.
No, it's a web series.
It's a web series, and it's actually a fan series, a Star Trek fan series.
Yeah, you wouldn't know it by looking at it, though. This thing is awesome.
Yeah, we wouldn't, I guess we wouldn't really necessarily do this kind of thing, but this one is really in a class by itself.
Yeah, it really stands out. This is real Star Trek. If you grew up on the original series, you've got to see this. All right.
If you haven't seen it yet, it's really, and like I said, I'm not a huge Star Trek geek or anything like that. It's like, I'm a fan of the original series, not like a super fan. You know, I've seen all the episodes a couple of times. A couple of the other ones I could take or leave, you know, we saw Enterprise, I've seen some of the other ones and I'm not as thrilled about those, but I really, really like the original series. And this is almost exactly like it.
Yeah, it's real Star Trek. The writing is awesome. The acting is really good. You got Vic Mignogna. Vic Mignogna, basically, he's Kirk. All right. There are only two Kirks. All right. You got the Shat, and then you got the Mig. Okay. Really, the Shat invented Kirk. You know, a lot of the mannerisms and a lot of the way Kirk does Kirkly things in the original series.
Kirkly.
Yeah, it's more kind of like that's the Shat being himself. All right. So he kind of, you know, the Shat brings a lot to the table in terms of, you know, Captain Kirk action, in terms of the Captain Kirk game. But Mignogna comes in, Vic comes in, and he gives you that exact same character, but without doing a Shatner impersonation.
Yeah.
This is, you know what I mean? Like, you sometimes forget that you're not dealing with William Shatner.
Yeah. I mean, especially certain facial expressions, like when he turns his head a certain way or something like that, he really, really looks like Shatner did on the original series. And he has said this numerous times in interviews because he is a huge fan of the original Star Trek, and Captain Kirk was his favorite character as a child. So he has specifically said, I wanted to do this to honor the series. He's like, I didn't want to parody Kirk.
Right.
I didn't want to make it seem like I was spoofing him or making fun of him. And that really comes across in the show. It's almost more like, it's not an impression of William Shatner. It's almost more like he's channeling that character.
Yeah, it's like he's channeling Kirk. Yeah. Now, the guys that make this web series, they're very well connected.
Yeah.
Pretty much the people that wrote these episodes also wrote Star Trek episodes. People who've starred on Star Trek show up as guest stars on this. So this isn't really, it's fan made.
But it's not an amateur production
by any means. This is a pro
production. It is a professional production.
Yes.
And pretty much, I mean, all of the principal actors, Vic, Todd Haberkorn, who plays Spock.
Yeah, and he plays a really cool Spock.
Yeah, they are all primarily voice actors.
Yeah.
A lot of them have been in other Star Trek properties.
Yeah.
Some of them are on Discovery. Some of them have been on the online series. You know, some of them have done various other things.
Yeah, some of them were from Enterprise. You also have a lot of guest stars, like the guy who played Q guest stars on one episode.
Yeah.
You have Lou Ferrigno plays an Orion slave master on one of them.
Oh, he was so good.
Yeah, that's a really good. Erin Gray.
She's on two Buck episodes Rogers. Also. She's on a couple episodes now.
So it's an all-star cast, and the special effects are really good. It's true to the original series, but they, because of modern technology, they're able to improve a lot of the special effects, but they still keep that same tone. It's very Fallout 4, you know, in terms of weaponry and the way phaser fire looks. You know, it looks really cool.
Yeah. And one of the first things that what ended up happening, give a little bit of the history of if you don't know about it. Vic Mignogna, like I said, was a huge Star Trek fan. And what he wanted to do was start a web series that essentially finished the original crew's 5-year mission.
Right. So this is like a bonus season.
Yeah.
For Star Trek. Because when the original series ended, they never wrapped things up. It just ended.
Yeah.
You know? This one is a really good way of ending the original series and kind of slowly blending it into the very first Star Trek, the motion picture.
Yeah. It ties into that gap in between the last episode of the original series and the motion picture and kind of explains why certain things turned out the way they did.
Yeah, like why did Spock go back to Vulcan?
Right.
You know, because in the motion picture, basically come back to Starfleet. Right. And why did Kirk take a desk job?
Yeah.
You know? And then why are certain things in the Next Generation a certain way? Well, all that stuff is answered in the series.
Yeah.
And also, what's really cool is that in, I think it was episode 3 or 4, which was the one about the mirror episode. Was that 3 or 4? Do you remember? I think it was 3. Okay. In episode 3, they actually revisit the mirror universe to find out what mirror universe Spock did after he met Kirk.
After the real Kirk left and went right back to, yeah.
You know, fans will know that, you know, that in the mirror universe, Spock kind of had this sinister looking mustache and a little demonic looking beard. Well, you find out what happened when Kirk goes back to our universe and leaves Spock on his own. It's a really cool episode.
Yeah.
They revisit a lot of stuff.
And they kind of did that with a lot of the episodes. It's not so much that they, I mean, a lot of them are original stories, obviously.
Yeah.
But they will take some of their favorite episodes, like the Mirror Mirror episode, like the one about Apollo.
Right, yeah.
From the original series, and then kind of like work off of that, where they're saying like, you know, what happened afterwards? You know, what happened to that planet after we left that guy there? What happened to this?
Yeah, what happened to Apollo?
Yeah, right, that, yeah.
That's the very first
Which was episode. Actually the first, which is called Pilgrim of Eternity, I think. And they got the same guy that played Apollo on the original series. Like I said, these dudes are connected. This is not like somebody, hey, asking their little sister to be in the production or whatever.
Yeah.
These, most of the people on here have been in some other Star Trek property in some capacity.
Or they're the descendant of somebody that, Scotty in this series is the son of Doonan.
Of the original
Scotty.
Guy that played the Scotty.
Some of the, like the girl, I think the girl from the Mirror Universe that Kirk, you know, the captain's woman.
Yeah.
I think that was the descendant, the daughter of the captain's
I think that was
woman.
The daughter. It was one of the two. It was either her or one of the
other. Or it was the Romulan captain female.
Oh, yeah. It
may have been her.
Yeah.
But they look, they're just spitting image.
I think it is the Romulan.
That
was like in the last two, the big finale, the two episode finale. The woman that plays the Romulan captain is the daughter of the woman that played her in the original series.
And, you know, in the original series, you know, Spock only had, he had a lot of almost girlfriends, but one of the main almost girlfriend was the Romulan female captain that he seduced in order to get that secret mission done in the neutral zone.
Yeah.
So they bring her back. There's a lot of really cool stuff in the series.
But I mean, the cool thing, and when I first started watching this, because the first episode, Pilgrim of Eternity, Vic Mignogna has said, I just made it. It was self-funded.
Yeah.
He just wanted to make it. He's like, I wanted to fill in the gaps, like continue the mission.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if anyone would want to watch it. I didn't know if I just wanted to make it because I wanted to.
Yeah. It was a hit with everybody who saw it.
Yeah.
The thing with this is not a lot of people saw it. So it was kind of the same with the original series. It really didn't become super famous until years after when it went into syndication. Well, that's what's happening with Star Trek Continues right now. A lot of people are finding it for the very first time. I showed it to my friend Mike, a guy who I grew up with, and he just loves it. You know, a lot of people see this.
Well, I mean, you just kind of came across it because it's been the first episode came out in 2013 because they take a long time to make.
Yeah.
You know, after the first episode was very successful, he actually started a couple of Kickstarters and got a lot of money. You know, he got way more
than he
over
asked
his
for.
Goal. I think he did two Kickstarters, which he called Kirk Starters, which I thought was adorable. And also he did an Indiegogo campaign, and he ended up getting a lot more than he asked for. So they did end up making 11 episodes. Now, I think originally they were going to make 13.
Right.
But did they not make 13 because they ran out of money or because CBS told them to stop it?
Well, there was another fan film that was getting ready to happen called Axanar, and they were evidently taking money and not spending it in certain ways that made it a for-profit or possibly for-profit venture. And CBS said, okay, that's it. No more fan stuff. And then they said, Vic, you can finish up your series. You know, we're not going to worry about that, but no more fan stuff. Now, hopefully they're going to relax on the fan stuff eventually. Maybe when Axanar blows over, when it's done. You know, we don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. This would have made a fantastic Netflix series.
Oh, yeah.
Here's another thing. CBS owns the property to this.
Yeah.
They have a new Star Trek called Star Trek Discovery. I think somebody said it was like $8 million an episode, which is a ridiculous amount of money to put in it. And maybe it was $5 million an episode. For $5 to $8 million, you could probably make 3 seasons of this. And on CBS's streaming service, they get they probably get a shit ton of people who want old classic Trek. Yeah. This is the Star Trek that you grew up with.
Yeah.
And you think of Star Trek, this is it. Not so much the new stuff. Although they could play out. I hope the new one, you know, succeeds.
Yeah. I mean, well, the thing is, and we were watching a couple interviews with Vic last night in preparation for doing this review. And he's kind of like, well, Star Trek Discovery is like, it, you know, if you like it, that's great. He's like, but I don't really think it's for me. It's like, it's not... Yeah. He's like, they have to appeal to a wider audience. I mean, right. It's on a big network and they spent a lot of money on it. So it's just kind of more like, you know, more like the J.J. Abrams movies where they're more crowd pleasing. They have to appeal to more people, not just Trekkies. So I think it's more kind of like a generic sci-fi story. Whereas the original series, and this is why I like the original series best of all the Star Trek properties, is because it had a very distinctive style to it. It had a distinctive look. It had a distinctive writing style. I like a lot of the writers that wrote for Harlan Ellison and Richard Matheson and stuff like that. I like that writing style.
The retro format of the original Trek and this, Star Trek Continues, that format is kind of filling a void.
Yeah.
In the market, artistically. It's got a certain feel to it.
Yeah.
That almost seems fresh and new now.
Yeah.
That you see it.
Ironically,
it's
it
like
does.
It's like it's come back into style. And really what I'm hoping is that CBS just claims the property.
Yeah.
If CBS just goes, okay, Star Trek Continues is ours, then that means that they could either
Because they're already made.
They're already made.
Yeah. Right?
They could just sell it to Netflix or they could put it on their own streaming service. And we'd be able to watch it there. Then, in my mind, CBS would hire Vic to make more.
Yeah.
Now, some would say, well, they wrapped the series up. How could they make more? Well, the time period in between a motion picture and Wrath of Khan, there's enough to do several series right there.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
And yeah, and there were some photographs of Vic and the crew in those maroon uniforms, which is kind of a hint. I was thinking when I first saw them, oh, maybe they're going to do something in between that time period.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be awesome.
They could do like a series in between there.
If they
like
can, right there in leading up to Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Because like I
and
said,
CBS could have it.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be a real expensive venture for them.
Because yeah, prior to this one fan film, not Star Trek Continues, but the different one that screwed people out of Kickstarter money or whatever it was they did, CBS allowed you to make fan films as long as you didn't profit on them.
Right.
Like, you know, you could raise money and make them. You couldn't sell them. You had to kind of put them up for free and things like that, which Star Trek Continues has done. They have a YouTube. It's up in high definition.
Yeah.
You can watch it. You can download. They have covers.
That's right.
For DVDs. You can burn them to DVDs.
They just put up the whole series in HD.
Yeah.
And you can download them from their website in HD for free. All the cover art, the box art, and a bunch of posters.
Yeah.
And really, after you watch the series, you love these actors as much as the originals.
I did.
Yeah,
it's really funny.
I was like, it took me an episode or two to kind of get adjusted. It's kind of annoying me that these weren't the original actors doing these parts. But then, like, by episode 3, you know, the mirror episode, I'm like, no, I like these guys, too.
Yeah.
I like these guys.
Well, everyone kind of hit their stride and kind of, you know, oh, and I forgot to, you know, there's so many people in this, like I said, doesn't, like, the guy that played Worf, he does the voice of the computer
In the mirror universe, it's Worf that plays the voice of the computer. In the normal universe, it's the voice of Deanna Troi.
Yeah, that's
doing the ships.
So, like I said,
it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
They've got like all these like actual Star Trek people like coming in and out and stuff like that. But the thing that really struck me, because I think you discovered it, and then you were like, "You have to see this. This is amazing." Mm-hmm. And when I was watching it, I was like, it looks just like the old one. The staging, the lighting.
The way they do the rocks on the alien planets.
Everything. It looks exactly
the same. It looks exactly the way the original series hoped to be seen.
Yeah.
Because there's something about it. It is in that same spirit, but it's like the quality is better.
Yeah.
The
fabrics. Well, obviously, because
the fabrics are better. It's in HD.
They spent more money on it, probably.
Yeah. The phaser fire looks a lot better because it looks, you know, like it's in 3D. Like if somebody shoots at you, it actually, the phaser beam, you actually has some depth to it, and there's actually, you can see light moving inside of it. It looks really cool, but it still has that retro spirit to it, like you're seeing something from the 50s or the 60s.
And that's what I really liked about it.
But it looks clean. That's what's weird. Yeah. Is it's retro and clean at the same time.
I mean, because for some things, they did use CGI.
Yeah.
Now, he has said, he's like, really the only thing they used CGI for was some of the exterior shots, some of the phaser fire. Mm. He's like, if we had to have something like a little gadget that was like flying or something like that, but they would actually build the thing.
Yeah, they built
and then just do it on a green screen. Right. They didn't build anything entirely in CGI, I don't think.
Yeah, the planets are definitely...
other than the planets.
Yeah, when you see the planets from orbit, I mean, they're gorgeous, you know.
But so,
but they still kind of, what's weird is they're still kind of retro futuristic looking.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know what I mean?
Like I said, they got the look of it exactly right.
And the tone of each episode is correct for the original series.
Well, the writing on it, the writing on it is very similar to, I mean, this was kind of, because I grew up reading a lot of horror and sci-fi by that generation of writers, like I said, Harlan Ellison and people like that. So that's kind of, that's a writing style that I always really liked. And it's the same reason why I liked the original Star Trek, the same reason I liked the Twilight Zone. It's that kind of writing, that kind of framework. And they really did get that bang on.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, I'd watch the old original series and you were kind of watching a space program. It had elements of like the Twilight Zone, but it also, they were like morality tales. You were learning something and you were thinking about a certain issue that they were talking about. And they weren't shoving anything down your throat. They were allowing you to reach your own conclusions. And that was another thing I love about this series. I would say that its political philosophy is really cool. They'll talk about an issue and they'll present multiple sides of the issue. And I think they present them clearly and they allow you to reach your own conclusions.
Well, it's very nuanced.
Yeah. It doesn't shove things down your throat.
The original one was too.
Yeah. The original one was like that also, which I like that. Yeah.
But that's really what I was talking about with how they did the writing and stuff like that. It's really, really. The first time I watched the series through, because I think we've watched it about 3 times through at this point, I couldn't believe it. I was just like sitting there with my mouth and was just like, this is just like Star Trek.
Yeah, it's delightful. It is Star Trek. I look at it, that's Star Trek.
And Gene Roddenberry's son.
He's in some of the episodes.
He was actually on the bridge. He was like a bridge officer in one episode and stuff like that. He has come out and said, this is canon.
Basically. Well, he didn't say it in that way. What he said was, he says, my dad would have loved these.
Yeah.
He would have considered them canon.
Yeah, all right. That's what he said.
And they're written so well, and they blend in so well with old school Star Trek lore. You can definitely tell that these were made with love. These were made by lore masters.
Like,
for instance, as the series starts to wrap up in those two final episodes, you actually hear audio cues that are actually from Star Trek the Motion Picture. Like, you see something in space that's impressive. You hear that, boom.
Yeah, more it goes on, the more it starts bleeding.
Into the newer Star Trek. And they do it just right. That way, they're kind of giving Star Trek a motion picture some heritage. You know, they're giving it heritage in the original series, which it's awesome.
Yeah.
So, it was really well thought out. For instance, in the last episode when I think it was either the Congo or the Enterprise warps away from you. It takes off and there's like stripes behind it and like a rainbow flash. Boom. And that's from Star Trek, a motion picture.
Yeah.
That was the way the Enterprise departed, you know? Then it ended up going, well, you didn't see that in any of the old original episodes until the final two-part episode, you know, the two-part
finale.
You know, and that finale is awesome because that wraps up some stuff.
I cried.
Because what's in the finale is that you get Kirk's 5-year mission debriefing.
Yeah.
And it was really cool.
And I don't want to spoil anything I mean, we can say some things that kind of tie into the later series, like I said, why they introduced, because the cool thing is that Vic's fiance, might be wife now.
Yeah, I think she's still fiance, I think, last I heard.
Yeah. She plays a ship's counselor.
That's right. And she's kind of the prototype for the ship counselor.
So that's the whole thing where they're like, she's like an experimental counselor program, which explains why there wasn't one on the original one, why there is one on this one, and why there were one on later on later shows.
And when she appears, of course, Kirk's dismissive of that shit.
Yeah, Kirk, he's like, nah, we don't need that.
Yeah, Kirk isn't really sentimental, you know what I mean? He doesn't think that he needs that. He's macho.
Yeah.
But over time, you find out that, Kirk kind of realizes that that's kind of a good thing to have, but you have to see the series. I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's something that kind of paid off later on that I thought was kind of cool because in case you were watching one of the later series and were like, why do they suddenly have a ship's counselor? Where did that come from? Well, they kind of did that. They showed where the origin of it was.
Yeah. But and another thing I liked about it is that the female characters in this series, they all kind of have that 1960s look. They're hotties. They got the short skirts and everything, but none of them are bimbos.
Yeah.
The writing for the female characters is really awesome. They're kind of strong, tough characters, but they're still feminine.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're not, you know, what's a good way to put it?
They're just like people.
They're like people.
Not just like eye candy.
Right. Exactly. You'll see when you see it.
So this is going to be a hard question, but what was your favorite episode out of all 11?
Oh man, it's hard to say. They're all really good. The mirror episode. Well, I have like three.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I don't know if I can pick one either.
The one where the old Kirk, what was that?
Still treads the shadow. That's actually probably my favorite.
Yeah, which is kind of, there's a prison metaphor going on there, if you ask me.
And that is also a callback to an original series.
Right, to one with what happened to the Defiant.
The Defiant, yeah.
And there's two different stories of what happened to the Defiant. Enterprise, in the series Enterprise, the Defiant was taken by Tholians.
Right.
All right.
Oh, that's right. I forgot all about that.
Right. And then another version of the Enterprise was thrown into some kind of interdimensional rift for a while. And when it appears, that's what you'll find out in this episode. You'll see.
Yeah. Another
that one's
one,
good. The mirror episode.
The mirror episode is good. The mirror ones are called Ferris of the Maw.
Ferris of the Maw. Yeah. That's it's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Pretty tough to choose.
I liked Lolani also.
Yeah.
The one Lolani about the Orion slave girl.
Yeah. They're all good. You can't really.
They really are. Yeah. I mean, and they have a kind of, even though it's only 11 episodes, you get like a good sampling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there are some that are set like in Earth's, there was one that was set like in Earth's history.
Yeah.
You know, just like an original Trek would be.
One of the things I liked about it is the very first one, episode 1, the one with Apollo. Apollo actually sings in it. There's a musical number.
Yeah.
Uhura sings.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
Which is, that was like something from the second.
From the original Star Trek.
Yeah.
So that, and that was so the first callbacks. Episode he did. So yeah, so you could see that was almost kind of like his mission statement.
Right.
He's like, I'm continuing
what you saw.
Yeah, some stuff from this. Right. So we're going to have him sing just like in the old one.
Yeah, it's classic.
Like, yeah. It was really, really good. I was going to say, I forgot to mention that Grant Imahara of Mythbusters fame
plays Sulu. He plays Sulu, and I must admit, in episode 1, Sulu has a big scene there, and I kind of think that he wasn't taking it too seriously.
Just the first episode.
Just that very first
episode.
To me, I could see that he was kind of like, you know, it's just fake Star Trek. But then I think he saw it afterwards. He goes, oh, damn, no, this is real Star Trek.
Yeah. Well,
because
see,
from there on out, he was Sulu.
Yeah. I think that he got super excited and he thought, well, I'm just being in a Star Trek fan series.
Right.
Which, like I said, you would just blow it off. You'd think, oh, it's a Star Trek fan series.
Yeah.
But then when you see it.
Yeah. You go, oh.
He's like, oh, this is like real Star
this
Trek.
This is real Star Trek.
This is real shit.
Yeah. Because
like it is a professional, it's a totally professional.
Yeah.
It is not amateur in any aspect.
No, you got to see it to believe. You got to see it to believe it. And episode 1 is, even though it is a strong episode, it doesn't look as good as episode 3. And episode 3 doesn't look as good as episode 8. By the time they start getting...
Because it's several years. I mean, he made one
years,
at a time.
Right. They're all good.
Yeah.
They're all good. But you could see that they were upping their game with each episode.
With each one, yeah.
With each one,
because really, that two-part finale was
That was movie
dynamite.
Quality. It hit... The two-part finale is kind of like a mini-movie, you know. Even though it looks like original Trek, it's starting to blend into... a motion picture.
I don't even think it's a mini movie. It's 2 hours long, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
almost
it is.
Almost 2 hours.
Yeah, it's 2 hours long.
Yeah, because I think last part of it was
their
48-50 minutes.
Good.
Yeah,
it's pretty
and there
good.
Was two of them. But, and like I said, just even though it's only 11 episodes, you really get so invested in these characters.
Right.
Like by the time you got to the finale, like I said, I was crying. That was like, there was some sad shit on there.
Vic wanted two more, and one of them two more episodes, and one of the episodes that he wanted to do was he wanted to revisit the Gangster Planet from a
piece, I would have loved that. I
from
loved,
a piece of the action.
I loved that episode.
Which some people say is the worst Star Trek
episode. I know, but I really like that one.
But that would be a cool one to revisit.
Maybe, you know what? Yeah. I think it's because I really liked Leonard Nimoy, like the Zoot Suit.
Well, you could.
I have a thing for Leonard Nimoy.
You could revisit that though, and really do that particular episode justice.
Oh yeah.
Of what happened after, you know what I mean? Yeah. You could really play some games there. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame that he didn't get.
Yeah, about Spock. All right, Leonard Nimoy is almost an impossible act to follow.
Yes, I would be. I would have been freaked out if somebody. Yeah, I mean, like not like anyone would ask me to.
It's hard to be Spock. You're going to be scrutinized. But Habercorn does an excellent job.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's also Spock. In my mind, he's also Spock.
Yeah. He got it.
Yeah,
and we were listening to an interview with him last night, too. He's mostly, he does like a lot of voice work. He
does a lot of anime voice work, things like that.
Yeah. He really nailed because it's weird how people ask questions about, because he plays Spock, they're like, oh, well, is it harder to play an emotionless character?
Yeah.
And that is not an accurate assessment of Spock. He's not emotionless at all.
Yeah, they have emotions. He has to keep them under wraps.
Right. Which, in a way, I would think would be much harder.
Right.
Like a much harder character to play. And that's what he said, too.
And he wraps up the Spock of the original series really well, because you find out why he leaves Starfleet.
Yeah, like why does he go back to Vulcan?
And he doesn't really leave Starfleet. He takes an extended leave of absence.
Yeah, yeah. So that ties in with the beginning of the motion picture, which actually I haven't even seen for a long time.
I want to see that one again. I haven't seen it in a long time.
We watched Wrath of Khan not too long ago.
Yeah,
which obviously is the
that's a good one. Yeah, although I remember like. An emotion picture. I'd like to see
that. I did too, but I liked Wrath of Khan a lot better. Yeah. But you know what I mean? There's, like I said, there's other Star Trek fan series, and actually, Vic and I believe Todd Habercorn have worked on one of the other ones. It's called Farragut.
Yeah. I'd have to see it.
I haven't seen that one. I've heard that one's very good too.
Okay.
Because like I said, I like the original series, but I wouldn't consider myself like a Trekkie. I'm not like a total geek about, oh, I know all the episodes and stuff like that. I've seen all of the original series.
This series is just good. It's just this series is just great for somebody who just happened to have seen those old episodes on TV.
Yeah,
and if you haven't seen those old episodes, then you're doing yourself a disservice. You can watch them for free on Netflix.
Yeah,
all of the original series.
Right,
and they're quite addictive. It's kind of like
I've watched them over and over.
Yeah, a very comforting format. You get to learn. You know, you get to kind of become familiar with these characters, and they're kind of comforting in a way.
Yeah.
I like that series.
My favorite thing, I must say, about the original series, and one of my favorite things about Star Trek Continues too, is I love the relationship between Spock and Bones.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool.
This kind of bitchy.
Yeah, now this series.
I love that shit.
This series has two Bones.
Yeah.
In the very first episode, and I think it's just the first episode, I think there's a different guy.
Yeah.
And he was actually only planned to be a temporary, from what I understand.
Yeah.
But he's good too.
He's like a huge Star Trek. He's written books about Star Trek and all this other stuff. So he's like Star Trek super fan, and he's been in some other Star Trek stuff.
And then quickly they introduced the regular Bones. And he's a really good character.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Because he's very, he really captured that lovable crabbiness that Bones had in the original series that I liked so much. And I liked him and Spock like butting heads all the time.
There are no dud actors or actresses.
No, everyone on us.
All of
really
them does
good.
The character real well. The first couple episodes, the wig that they had on Uhura, I didn't think looked very good on her. Later on, she was wearing a wig that had a big ponytail on it.
Yeah,
and
it looked more like
Uhura to me. Yeah, because it showed more of her face. It was kind of pulled back, and then it kind of gave me that more Uhura vibe.
Yeah.
But she's really good also.
But I'm not saying, like, not even denigrating the first episode, because the first episode is fantastic.
Yeah, right.
But as fantastic it was, it got better and better and better as it went along. Like, the look of it got better, the acting got better, the writing got better, everything got better.
Yeah.
So it's just every single one. And like I said, that's why it was so hard for us to pick
a favorite.
They're just really all good.
The writing and execution's excellent on all of them.
Yeah.
And at 10, and I noticed that it got better as it went along.
Yeah.
And man, when this series ended, I was pissed.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that CBS didn't claim possession of this.
They still could.
They could have just said, that's ours. They wouldn't even have to pay them. They would say, this is ours. And yeah. We're going to put this on our streaming service. Oh, and Vic, here, man. Why don't you do a few episodes in between Motion Picture and Wrath of Khan?
I would like that.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
I would like that.
I want to see that series continue.
I really hope it does.
And for the money, how could they lose? I don't understand how CBS could lose.
Yeah. No. I mean, they really...
If they wanted their streaming service to fucking survive, having more than one Trek at the same time, I think would be a great way of doing it. Because you could get the new crowd and the old crowd at the same time.
Because here's the thing, like, I didn't do the math or anything like that. So, Vic funded the first episode entirely by himself.
Yeah.
Which entailed, I mean, they built their own sets, built all their own stuff.
Yeah, and these sets are spitting image. They got the sets and the lighting.
Everything is exactly the same. It's awesome. It's exactly the same.
It's either the same or better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then he did his first Kickstarter, which made about $126,000. And that covered episodes 2, 3, and 4.
Okay.
And then he did a second one and he made about $214,000. And that covered 5, 6, and 7. And then he did another one. He did Indiegogo, and that he almost got $200,000.
Okay.
And that was for, you know, the other episodes. So the fact that he could make 3 episodes for that cheaply.
Yeah.
And they were that good.
Yeah. Now, the actors didn't get paid. They all volunteered.
True.
All right. But still, that's a good economy.
I mean, if CBS is willing to... I mean, they've shown that they're willing to put that much money into a Star Trek property.
Right.
So it seems like they could give them somewhat less because they don't need as much.
Look at what Netflix did with MST.
Yeah.
Okay. For just a small amount of money.
And seriously, thank you forever, Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix. Yeah, you're awesome.
Thank you so much.
That new MST is awesome. Dollar for dollar, you couldn't make people any more happy than that.
No. And like I said, and I am super critical because I love the old MST. I love Joel. Yeah. I love Mike. I love every single episode. I love every single host segment, no matter how dumb some of them were.
Right.
But the new one, when the new MST came out, I was kind of scared to watch it.
Yeah.
But holy shit.
Yeah.
It exceeded my expectations.
Look.
And they're doing a season 2.
Look, we've never met Vic. You know, maybe one day we'll meet him at a convention.
Yeah.
We do the convention too. We do horror conventions instead of sci-fi, but maybe there might be crossover one day. I'm just going to say those suits at CBS are fucking up. If you ask me, they are fucking up. That was a winner. That would have been a winner project for them.
Yeah.
I'm in your corner, Vic.
I mean, it might have been a niche project.
But still.
But I really don't think that's a big thing anymore.
No, that's not a problem.
I mean, look at how much, and like you said about Netflix, look how much money they're willing to pour into something that is probably not going to be a huge, you know, that mainstream America or whatever is going to watch.
They're not going to make billions of dollars.
Right.
You know?
Like, look at what they did with, like, Stranger Things or Dark, that German show that I love so much.
And there's also crossover.
Yeah.
Like you get the old MST fans watching Netflix and, you know, but while they're there, they're going to watch this other series and then they go to this other series. So they all kind of cross promote. Yeah. CBS could do the exact same thing.
And like I said, I'm not like a super Trekkie, but I am super into this and I've watched it like 3 times.
You can get the older crowd that likes the original Trek to get the streaming service on CBS if that's how they want to play it.
Yeah.
Okay. So and while they're there, they're watching the new Trek.
Yeah.
Discovery.
That would actually be a good thing to do because then you could kind of draw in people that might not have cared about about Discovery because it's a new thing.
And then the younger people who are watching Discovery say, well, hey, what's this other Star Trek?
Yeah.
Oh, this is pretty cool. And then they go back and watch an old CBS.
Watch the old ones.
The old CBS property. So now, the suits of CBS don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. It would seem like a good crossover sell.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they'll wise up and they'll, you know, just because like I said, the first season is
well, I'll tell you what, if our listeners share the free videos on YouTube of Star Trek Continues, just share that with your friends. We get a whole bunch of people.
It's subs awesome, on there. Seriously.
It's only a matter of time that, you know, once you have a few million subs, then maybe, you know, you might be able to
You're
going to get some attention.
Because, you know, like I said, why did Netflix buy MST? Because they raised $7 million
Subscribe
on Kickstarter.
Subscribe to Star Trek Continues on YouTube and share.
Yeah.
Also, it's on Facebook and share.
But it's a great show.
Yeah, we need to get this one launched.
All right, so that'll do it for our sort of quasi-movie episode.
Well, it's a recommendation on a series, guys. Go eat that one up. You're going to love it.
Yeah, that's why we didn't spoil too much.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to love that one.
If you like the show, remember to like, share, subscribe our show also, as well as Star Trek Continues. If you'd like to support the show, please remember to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/13o'clock or go to our blog at 13o'clockpodcast.wordpress.com. And there's a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account if you'd rather give a one-time donation. And remember to stay tuned for our next episode, which comes out on Tuesday. And until next time, bye.